Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson, and as always, I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Casey Clapp.
Good day, everyone. Alex, it is a pleasure to be sitting next to you again.
The pleasure's all mine, Casey. You know, before this, we had lunch.
We did.
But before lunch, we recorded another podcast on, or like a somebody else's podcast.
Yes.
Which is always a delight. So if you want us on your podcast, just email us because we'd love to do it.
Yeah, we love talking with other people. It's a nice break from, you know, talking about trees and, you know, other related topics.
It's the fun of podcasting without all the work.
Yeah, we like talking with people.
Yeah. And, you know, often we talk about, we're asked the same kinds of questions.
So we have to come up with new different answers. Yeah. How'd you guys get into podcasting? Well, there's a comet.
Mm.
It's flying through the sky, and it said, you know, like those planes that write things in smoke?
Yeah.
It was like that, but it was a comet. It said, talk about trees.
I was kind of imagining the red comet from Game of Thrones.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Where, like, you thought it was to start a podcast about trees, and I thought it was to, you know,
get a new desk or something. Get a new desk, which you do have a new desk. Yeah, that does actually work out. I guess it's not new anymore. You've had it for a while.
I've had it for a while. It's a standing desk. I love it a lot.
Yeah.
I have also a more classic wooden desk, West Elm, that I got used for a steel in my other little room here.
Yeah, that's true. You do have at least there 1, 2, 3, 4 desks.
I have 2 desks.
I guess those are in tables, Alex?
Yeah, Casey.
Well, come on. Is that really what we're going to argue about here?
You've got three frying pans. Oh, what? This is a stock pot?
I mean, I've fried things in stock pots.
Okay, you can fry in a stock pot, but you know what I'm saying.
I guess I do know what you're saying, but I don't like your pedanticness here.
My pedanticism? Fine.
Pedanticism.
It's pronounced pedanticism.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. We're not fighting. This is Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics.
Mommy and Daddy just having a heated discussion. Okay.
It was like a fake heated discussion that turned a little real.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, it is true. Yeah.
Right. It's hard to see where it's a gray area.
Yeah. Know? Where did it go from real to fake?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ask yourself that question, everyone. Or rather, I guess fake to real in this case.
Right.
Ask yourself that the next time you have an argument. Is this a fake argument or is this real?
Because sometimes one can become another.
Exactly. And it mirages. It's like a cuttlefish. Changes color.
Wow. I like cuttlefish.
Alex, that leads me to believe you don't know what a cuttlefish is.
I know what a cuttlefish
okay,
is.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
it's an exciting new app that lets you schedule a...
Yeah, it may change colors of other things.
Doesn't it sound like an app, like cuttlefish?
Yeah, it really does, yeah.
But it's spelled like CTLFSH.
No vowels.
Cuttlefish.
Yeah. Don't care.
Hey, speaking of no vowels, we're here today to talk about a tur. And that tur is the aptly named and beautifully named, I will say.
Yeah.
Golden Rain Tree.
That is right.
Is it true that they originally went with Golden Shower Tree, but they had to remarket?
Honestly, rebrand? I hope so. And I think about that every single time I say this.
Yeah. Botanical name, scientific name?
This one is Coleuteria paniculata.
Wow.
Yes. Which is really fun. It's named after Joseph Gottlieb Kohlruter. Who is a German, was a German professor. I don't think we can get him on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he since deceased?
He is. Yeah. In fact, he's an old one, 1733 to 1806.
I do think we should hold a seance to speak to all these people.
It would be really nice. Yeah. If we just light some candles, ask if David would comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like immediately apparent that they're all wildly racist.
Yeah. Oh God. We're like, oh, turn the Ouija board off. Oh gosh. David's going on another rant about the locals. That is it. And paniculata. Lada is referring to the flowers there in panicles, but we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves.
Well, no, we shouldn't. Before we jump into this tree, I'm very excited to talk about this one, Casey.
I also am excited to talk about it because it plays, in my opinion, a special role, which other trees do, but this one, as of course we note all the time, plays a special role. Hmm. How special? Yeah, it's up to you.
Interesting. I hope it's more special than a dinner roll. Although I do love a dinner roll.
Yeah, it depends on the kind of dinner roll. Like, have you ever had, I don't know, like the dinner rolls that are already made, they're all like smashed together. And you
King's
have like,
Hawaiian.
Is that it? Yeah, yeah. Okay. I hate those. I'm sorry, Alex. He's gone.
We'll be right back with more Completely Arbitrary.
Maybe, hopefully.
Hi, everybody. Or should I say, hola a todos. I want you to hear something. It's this. Yes, that is the sound of learning a new language with Babbel. You have, of course, heard of Babbel. You maybe even used Babbel. But if you haven't, Babbel is an app that helps you learn languages. Babbel is a science-backed learning language app that actually works. Let me put it this way. I knew somebody who used a different language app for 365 days and still could not even have basic conversations in the language they were learning on that app. Babbel is not this. They have quick 10-minute lessons and they're handcrafted by 200 language experts, so you can start learning a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Because it's designed by real people for real conversations. In fact, a recent study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. And of course, the best way to learn a new language is immersion. You go and live in the place where the people speak the language you're learning. You speak to the people, they speak back. But the second best way is Babbel. And it's practical. It will very quickly teach you how to order food, ask for directions, speak to shopkeepers, without having to consult language apps while you're on vacation. And here is a special limited time deal for our listeners right now. Get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for Fungal Associates at babbel.com/trees. That's right. If you're listening to this, if you're a fan of this show, babbel.com/trees, get 60% off your subscription. That's babbel.com/trees. Rules and restrictions may apply. Adios. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a blooming. Those people are a walking around. That sun is a shining. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again. And it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee. Ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted. even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we're talking the Golden Rain Tree. I've given Casey a good scolding about his distaste for Hawaiian, King Hawaiian roll.
My cheeks are burning because I got yelled at so bad in that break.
Nah, I don't give a shit.
I like a dinner roll that is fresh made, that is not as fluffy, I guess, as like white bread fluffy is. I want it to be fluffy, but more like more layered and flaky. More buttery.
Like a biscuit?
Yes. I think I just want biscuits.
Yeah. You don't want a dinner roll.
I don't want a dinner roll. I don't find them very palatable. They're fine, but it's like I don't know. It's like they're the most manila envelope of rolls.
Sure. I mean, like, the dinner roll as a concept is like, it's just like a bit of bread to eat. I think people put too much weight on the dinner roll. You know, it's made to be had with other stuff, or put butter on it to maybe like a little appetizer or something. Uh-huh. But it's obligatory. You have to have, if you're going to have a big dinner, you got to have dinner rolls.
Well, so Alex, is a food person.
Old fashioned though.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm curious then where you're at. Nowadays, we live in Portland where very often any place that makes food, they're like, no. Nothing is just there to be there. We got to make it like a big part. It has to add something. It has to be a unique good thing. So would you think that we should modernize the dinner roll and like make it not just the thing that is with the food that's the main thing, but a part of the whole thing? You know, like the drums aren't just the thing in the background. They're a part of the music as much as everything else.
Like, you can order them on an appetizer menu.
Yeah.
Or starter.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. That's a really good, that's a good kind of bellwether to test that.
Well, one of my favorite restaurants in Portland, Montelupo, has pull apart sourdough bread as a starter that they just serve with really good olive oil.
That's it.
That's kind of what you're...
Okay.
Yeah.
Get rid of the prepackaged bread, make it yourself, and make it a part of the meal.
It's incredible bread, too.
What were we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about the Golden Rain Tree.
Coleuteria paniculata.
Coleuteria paniculata. Do you like paniculatas? And getting caught in the Golden Rain.
Oh, my God. I did not even see that coming. Really, it's going to be like Coleuteria paniculata. It almost sounds like someone's asking, like, can I get you a pina colada?
Coleuteria pina colada? No, I think I've had enough.
I think you've had enough.
Casey, let's imagine, I know this is a Chinese tree natively.
Correct.
So let's imagine that we are walking through a little grove in China, perhaps. We're among some ginkgos and some dawn redwoods.
Oh, that's nice.
And we come across some golden rain trees. Casey, let's ID this tree.
Let's do it. So this is a tree native to, as you said, Southeast Asia. And it is a tree that grows in the forest, kind of on the edge of the forest, often. And it has, I think its native range is the kind of temperate to kind of subtropical temperate areas in Southeast China specifically.
Okay.
So it's not going to be growing up in the high mountains. It tends to not be in any place that's not kind of like a really nice cush forest, you know, like the different habitats that it does embody are kind of particular, but it doesn't really, it's kind of a generalist species, but only in this like this one area.
Interesting.
Which is very curious. We'll find out more about this.
Generalist in a specific area.
Yes. Yeah.
It seems like an oxymoron.
It does. So I guess a generalist, you know, is one that grows almost anywhere, right?
Yeah.
But this one, it grows almost anywhere in this specific kind of Southeast Asian, Southeast China temperate area.
Okay, I gotcha.
Kind of down a little bit into Vietnam, into allegedly natively, but perhaps not in Korea down through that peninsula.
Okay.
When I just said, but perhaps not, I felt like I was doing an impression of Donald Trump. You know, yeah, he's like, it could be like this, but perhaps not. Perhaps not.
A lot of people are saying it's native to Korea.
Yeah, but perhaps not. We don't know. Nobody knows. It's like, you just literally said that people know.
Anyway. Oh, God. Ugh. Okay, Casey, let's talk about overall morphology, because I'll be honest, I know I've seen this tree. I'm sure I've seen this tree in Portland.
Yeah.
But I cannot think about what the tree actually looks like at large.
This is a very, very good question. So, Alex, we'll start with the form. You're walking in, I'm going to start with a park, because the tree is an upright, rounded tree overall.
Mm-hmm.
If you see it in the forest, it doesn't grow in its normal, I shouldn't say normal, that is its normal. You're not going to find it the same as you would find it in a park or along a street, for instance. So in its native habitat, it will be an upright tree, but not very tall. So it kind of grows up and grows out at the same time. It finds some space that it can take up, but it's not going to be one of those dominant kind of emergent trees that jumps out to the very tippy top of a 100-foot forest kind of thing.
Okay.
So gets about 40 feet tall, maybe 50 or 60 in its native habitat, where it's growing really well, having a good time.
It's not bad.
Not bad. Not a bad tree, but it really tends to stay around that 40-ish feet zone.
Okay.
It will grow with this nice big spreading habitat. It will grow with this nice big spreading habit, be very rounded of a crown. It really has this kind of shaggy top appearance with one single stem that kind of splits and breaks up into multiple other smaller stems very proportionally. And this is kind of the important thing. It's a tree that grows and doesn't get very big. Like 40 feet is not giant for a tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, it looks like a big tree.
Because it's so wide?
It's just like a miniaturized version. You know, like you see a bonsai tree and it looks like a big tree, but it's small?
Yeah.
This is the same thing, but writ larger, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it just has one of those appeals where you see it and you're like, okay, that's a mature tree. It looks big, but it's not. It's not a big tree.
It's like Napoleon.
Yes, right? There's just certain camera angles.
I know you're a powerful man, but you're so small.
Yeah, but I can't help but want to pat you on the head. I just don't know why.
And put your penis in a jar.
What? Alex, where did that even come from?
Napoleon's penis is famously on display at a penis museum. It's in a jar.
What?
Or it's in a little box or something.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Where is this museum?
I Googled Napoleon's penis.
Oh, well, is your safe search on?
No way, man.
Nice.
Well, this is okay. I want to pivot to just telling you how funny this Wikipedia page is. The page is titled Napoleon's Penis, and there is a section titled Characteristics.
Characteristics.
With about a paragraph of text that I refuse to read.
All right. Yeah. Hey, everyone, we'll link it in the show notes. Go ahead and just find out yourself.
All right, where were we?
We were talking about the size of this tree. So
that's
it's,
right.
It's not a very big tree, but it has the appearance of a big tree. And I just find it to be extremely handsome. It's just a handsome tree.
Yeah, it's a good looking tree.
It's got, it's not very shade tolerant, so it will lose all of its lower branches. It doesn't stick and keep all of its kind of lower dead limbs or lower limbs that are kind of like small being shaded out. They all kind of die away. So it has a very uniform, clean branch architecture. And one thing that I think is really nice is that if you see it in the wintertime, it's got semi kind of fairly large twigs. So it has kind of this miniature appearance, but in wintertime, the architecture of the whole thing is very, very like obvious.
Interesting.
And it just has this effect of being very proportional, where it goes from being one big stem to two smaller stems to four smaller stems and so on and so forth in a very, very uniform way.
It's very, very, very satisfying to look at.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you draw like a tree kind of thing, you follow an exact pattern. And then, like, it's like a fractal kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It really has a very nice, pleasing look to it.
Interesting.
In my opinion.
I like trees that are shade intolerant and ditch their lower branches.
Yeah, right.
Because I feel like it's like cleansing or something. It's like minimalism, you know? Yeah. It's like, I don't need these.
I don't need this.
I'm going to get rid of them.
I'm just going to get rid of them. Everything's going to be clean. It's a Marie Kondo tree kind of thing.
Totally. One of my least favorite aesthetics of a tree is like a hawthorn that's just like a big bunch of shit.
It's just all a mess.
Yeah. And I think there's like a place for that. I don't know. But I look at that and I'm like, what do you, come on, clean up.
Pin oaks. When we cover pin oaks, I want to discuss this.
Okay.
In depth.
Okay.
Okay, so the bark on these lovely stems is a sight to see. I kind of think this is nice because it is a tree that has ridges where it seems like the ridges are getting pulled apart slowly from each other, and they kind of cross over, like very kind of uniform shapeliness to it.
Hmm.
But it appears to me sometimes, and this might just be my own like brain, because I looked and I was like, I don't really see this, but for some reason my brain thinks I see this. It looks like there are ridges that are on top of ridges. So there's like a ridge that's on the outside that looks like it's getting ripped apart. And then in the space between those ridges that aren't very thick, they're not very deep, it looks like new ridges are forming. So it kind of looks like there's ridges on top of ridges.
Like there's layers to it.
Yeah, but I think it might just be an illusion that my eyes see, because I looked at so many pictures and I'm like, not really. So why am I describing it this way? Why does it feel so right?
Interesting.
Yeah, what do you think? Are you looking at a picture?
Yeah, I look at them and I feel that they look like stretch marks almost.
Yeah.
They're kind of uniform in that way, but they also, you know, Casey, I don't get bark, man. I don't know.
What?
All bark looks the same to me. There I said, except for like ponderosa pine or western red cedar. Like, I just cannot tell. You will say, the bark on this tree is beautiful. And I'll look it up and it's like this gray bark. And I'm like, well, what the fuck is he seeing? I just don't see beauty in bark. I'm sorry.
Well, first off, this is tannish brown bark. It's not gray, Alex.
I wasn't talking about this time specifically, Casey. I just mean like in general.
All right. That's fair.
I give up the ghost. The ruse is over. That means to die. The ruse is over. I don't get bark.
I'll need to come up with a good descriptor for these so I can really elicit it better.
No. It's not you.
I'm taking this personally. Not what? Personally as an insult, but personally as a challenge.
Okay. Well, don't.
Well, maybe you shouldn't.
I'm fine with my, I don't know.
You're fine with having like, I don't really care about seeing that.
You know, like some people say like, who aren't musicians, they'll be like, I don't really, when I listen to music, it's just like sound. Like I don't pick it apart or like really appreciate the fine. I just like listen to music.
I see. Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about
Bert. Okay. So like someone could hear a guitar and they're like, it sounds like a guitar. And you're like, but this guitar sounds so much different than that guitar.
Right.
Where everyone else is like, nah, that just sounds like a guitar.
Right.
All right. I see. That's fair.
I just
That's
don't
fair.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, I hope you can appreciate this when you see it in person again, because it'll stand out.
Okay.
But it is a subtle standout. So it would be, I think a guitar tone is the best way to describe it.
Sure.
If you don't know what you're looking at and you don't know what you're trying to pick out, it's going to look exactly the same, unless it's like so different.
Sure. But if you're an appreciator, you will see the finer points.
Precisely. Yeah. Yes. Very like wine.
I was going to say wine is a better example.
Yes. All right. Perfect.
Like you can drink wine and be like, this tastes like gross vinegar grape juice.
Yeah.
But I drink anything, so whatever.
Exactly.
And then somebody would be like, no, this has notes of vanilla and oak and, pop, you know, you can tell pop. It's French because of this. And
that. Yeah. All right. Well, sorry. All right. I think it's okay then. I'm not going to take this on as a personal, not vendetta, but a personal goal.
That's fine.
I'll let this be.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So the next thing you're going to see after your lovely journey down the stems wow. to the end.
Hubba hubba.
On the bark train, you're going to find the leaves. Now the leaves, Alex, I'm very excited to tell you about because they're alternate, pinnately compound. Some of the time, the other some of the time, they are bipinnately compound.
Curious.
I encourage everyone to look this up. You can take a look at
the Oregon State landscape.
Yes.
I'm looking at it right now, Case.
It's perfect. It's the website I go to most often. If it's a tree that grows in Oregon, they will usually have a profile. This is one of those cases. And it's always the very top link on our show notes. And we have leaves that are pinnately compound most of the time. But each one of the individual leaflets looks a little bit like a hawthorn leaf or something.
Yeah.
They're kind of, you know, serrated, a little shaggy looking. I think they look a lot like parsley, honestly.
I was just thinking this, Casey.
Excellent. We're on the same page.
We're totally on the same page today.
But then sometimes that parsley, as you go down that little parsley stem, the leaf blade kind of rips a bit apart. So all of a sudden it becomes another compound leaflet, which makes it then bipinnately compound.
Right. So is this just pinnately compound with very deep lobes?
So deep that it becomes bipinnately compound. Yes, that's exactly it.
All right.
And that is the case with any leaf. The leaves just have such big, deep lobes that they become pinnately or palmately compound.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. Well, that's the definition of bipinnately.
Exactly. That is why whenever you see a leaf and someone says it's a compound leaf, those are leaflets, and someone says, that's dumb, why don't you just call them leaves? It's because in a technical sense, if you're looking at it and you just draw the lines as if there were no gaps in between, mm-hmm. it would just be a lobed leaf.
Right.
Yeah. So that's just one of those things that is on that spectrum of how intense the leaf is lobed or cut or something like that.
And the petiole of the leaflets yeah. is just like the vein, like the main vein,
it's just that main vein exactly.
of a leaf.
Yes, precisely.
Okay.
That's a petiole.
Petiole.
Yeah, yeah. If you add a ule uh-huh. into the word, that makes it small.
Interesting.
Yeah, so crenulate means small crenations.
Ah.
Serulate, small serrations.
Very cool.
Yeah, there you go.
Huh, interesting. So that's just like a mutation that happens sometimes?
You know, yeah, I think it's probably mutation would be the right word, but it's also just a variation, you know? So some of the leaves on the very same tree, usually if they're fast growing, they'll be more likely to be bipinnately compound. If they're a little slower growing, then they'll be more likely to be pinnately compound.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. So I'm reminded of the sassafras.
Yes.
Which on the same tree, you can have three different variations of leaf shape.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah.
Same exact thing. Only okay. the difference being sassafras, I cannot think of a rhyme or reason. Like, it's not that they're growing faster or slower. Some sure. leaves are just like, yeah, I have a thumb.
Yeah, it's just the way it grows,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's just the way it grows, man.
Well, like Casey, I'm just itching to get to the flowers.
Well, before we do, I got to tell you fruit. One last thing about this leaf.
Okay.
When it comes out, Alex, it's this stunning copper red color.
Mm.
It's like when they're very, very first popping out in the spring, if you have this growing in northern climes, you might be able to see it right now, but it is spectacularly gorgeous.
Red.
Yeah. So it like comes out and it looks like the whole tree is just like coppery red color that then fades to its normal green once the leaves start to mature a couple weeks or a week or so after they come out.
And that's because they haven't like formed their chlorophyll yet?
It's exactly right. Yeah. Okay. It's just a different pigment in there and the actual chloroplasts have not been produced and made and start to actually shine. Well, I say shine, but really, I mean, absorb all the colors except green.
So other trees that produce leaves that are green right away,
Yeah.
They just have their chloroplast built in.
Yeah, usually they're just a little quicker at putting it together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yes, no further ado, Alex, the flowers. They are, you guessed it, golden in color.
They're great, Case.
They're so beautiful. They're like this like stunning yellow green when they first come out. But the yellow green is more just because there's, you know, leaves there. So you can kind of, it looks like they're yellow green. But when you actually look at the flower itself, it is a strictly bright yellow, like bumblebee yellow kind of thing.
I'm going to say grass-fed butter yellow.
Oh, that is such a perfect description. It's like the yolk of an egg.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, I love it.
A really good yolk will be like almost orange.
Yeah, okay, that is very true. These are not quite that.
Maybe this is an oak of a factory farm egg.
Yes, this is a factory farm egg. Yeah, there you
go. Or grass-fed butter.
Right. So it is, and they're yellow, they're four-petaled, and this is a tree that is monoecious. It just has, you know, all the same flowers are there. They are perfect flowers. And they are tiny little flowers, but in big clusters, and they have probably, I don't know, even maybe 50 flowers on one panicle, which is basically a branched raceme of flowers. So it's like a spike that comes up, but then has other spikes of flowers that are coming off of it. Mm. And they're terminal, so they happen at the end of every twig that is growing out. So every single one will just be pop, 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 pop. The display looks like fireworks.
Wow.
It's as if you're walking around, this tree is actively portraying a fireworks display at the end of every single one of its branches.
Beautiful.
It's just stunning.
I will say, I feel like panicles are a little more organized looking.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Like they have, or maybe I'm thinking of panicles. Like they look a little neater.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, these are very kind of messy in a good way. They're just like a big cluster of things.
They're very spread out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that is an adaptation, Alex.
Hmm.
An adaptation to the fruit of these trees.
Wow.
Another common name that people might know this tree by is the Chinese lantern tree.
Yeah, Case.
And that is because it makes these fruit that are about, what would you call that? It's about the size of a maybe like a dumpling or something like that. Maybe a ravioli.
Like a Russian dumpling, not like a Chinese. Well, I guess dumpling is such a broad term.
Yes, I didn't want to say it was one sort of thing.
Right.
Well, there's so many dumplings.
I'll say they look like little chili peppers. They look like little pepperoncinis.
Definitely. Yes, yeah. Perfect.
But smaller.
Yeah, and they grow, they have they're three-sided and they are very papery. And you can rip that paper open and they has one to several little black seeds, or they're very, very dark, almost black, very perfectly circular, so much so that they've actually been used as beads historically or for rosaries, that kind of thing.
Cool.
And they will fade from a kind of greenish yellow in the early spring to a pinkish tan in the late fall. And I guess not early spring, in the early summertime once they really start to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And the effect on the tree is just stunning. Because the leaves, because they're so kind of cut and compound, they have this kind of shaggy appearance. And then all of these fruit are also kind of shaggy on top, but their color is like quintessentially fall or late summer.
Yeah.
You know, like the kind of straw colored. It just gets me every time.
You have a fondness for this tree. I
just love this tree.
Casey, I have a question about these pods.
Yeah.
Would you call them pods?
Yes, they are capsules. Yeah. So capsules. I think pod is perfectly fair.
They look like three leaves sewn into like a football. You know how football is like three like little pieces of material or whatever, four sewn together on the sides.
Yeah.
Are they modified leaves, the papery part of the fruit?
You know, I actually don't believe so. They might be, you know, if you go back far enough, every bit of a flower is some kind of modified leaf.
Sure.
But the thing with these is that as they develop, so the flowers don't have any other, any bracts or anything around them. It's just the flower. And then as that fruit starts to develop, those new green little capsule bits develop and grow themselves. So I would say probably ultimately, but I don't know what part of the exact anatomy that is. But there are no leaves that are near the flower that then would kind of go into the fruit.
True.
So I don't know.
Okay.
It's a good question.
They just look like leaves.
They just look like leaves, yeah. And that's probably because, you know, plants are like, well, I know exactly how to make this thing, so I'm just going to make that.
It is curious to see a fruit with no flesh. I'm trying to think of what other things we call fruit that have no like fleshy part.
Yeah, well, samara would be a good example.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah,
and then trying to think of other things. This is in the soapberry family, so the soapberry kind of has some things like this.
It's in the soapberry family.
Yeah. Sapindaceae.
Well, this just makes a whole lot of sense.
Right.
Because
I assume you're saying it makes a whole lot of sense, Alex, because it looks just like them.
Well, I may be thinking of a different fruit. A gooseberry, maybe I'm thinking of. Comes in a little papery shell.
Oh, yeah,
that looks
yeah.
a lot like these little Chinese lanterns.
You're thinking of it's a ground cherry or something like that. It's like it's in the tomato family.
I am thinking of gooseberry.
Gooseberry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that's another name for a ground cherry, but
maybe. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Those are gooseberries.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, yeah.
Or sorry, gooseberries.
Gooseberries.
As the Brits would say.
Hey, they would. Of course, they would.
Schnozberries.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the Germans say. So that is, yeah, these are those fruit. They're amazing. And they really do look like Chinese lanterns. They're like, it's a very apt name for an apt tree growing in southern China.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, these trees they have, for whatever reason, gotten a reputation through Buddhism and have been planted near different monasteries. In fact, apparently, officials in China and Korea, where their tombs, and these would be important officials, they would plant this tree on their tombs to mark where their tombs are.
Interesting. Is that the gold aspect?
I don't know.
Okay.
It might be. It might be that these trees like just have this intense fireworks display and it made people, you know, really, you know, want them to honor their spaces and their ancestors. I'm not sure.
Sure. There's sort of like a statement, I guess.
There is definitely a big statement, right?
Yeah.
They're just like these big, you know, they're trees that are in your face saying, hey, what's up? We are just going for it.
We're here to stay.
It's exactly right. They're trees that are very flamboyant.
Yeah, they're here, they're queer, and they're proud of it.
Yeah, and we're all proud of you too.
And we mark the tomb of the king. That's the fourth thing.
That's the fourth thing. Anyway, sorry. We're here, we're queer, and we mark the tomb of the king. I want to see that movie. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So this is the golden rain tree, which I should note while we're saying this, it is golden rain tree.
Right. These are three words.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Otherwise, most places that I read call it the golden rain space tree.
Golden rain, one word?
Yes.
That makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they do that.
That should not be.
It is the case. Although, in the landscape plants, it's the golden rain tree.
What in the world? Come on, y'all. I say, when in doubt, separate all the words.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think I'm going to separate also the E-N from the gold. So it's the gold in rain tree.
For Spanish, it's in the rain tree. There's gold in that rain tree.
There's gold in that rain tree. Go find it.
And them hills.
So in Portland, Alex, I wanted to take you. In fact, I think we might be going there here pretty soon because we're going to go down to Sellwood, this lovely little neighborhood in Portland, because we're going to film a video to hype up our game night.
That's right.
In fact, I think if you're listening to this episode, our game night is tomorrow.
It's tonight.
It's tonight.
So if you're in Portland and you don't have plans tonight, you're listening to this on the Thursday it comes out, come to game night. Get your ticket at eventbrite.com. Search for Arbitrary Game Night or our website or our Instagram, anywhere.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be great.
So show up for that. We are going to go down there. And if you are there on our game night, you might be able to see these trees in bloom because I think they're about to get going.
Yes, yes.
They are, there's a whole row of them along a street next to Selwood Park. They're all fairly mature trees. Mm. They need a fairly reasonable size planter strip, you know, maybe about 5 or 6 feet, just because they can get kind of a fluted-ish base. Hmm. And they only get, like I said, about 35, 40 feet tall, especially growing along our neighborhood streets, but they grow really wide and out.
Casey.
Alex, what are you thinking?
I know the trees you're talking about.
You do?
I never realized those were golden rain trees.
Oh my
yes.
God.
I'm thinking of Selwood Park, and I know exactly the road that they're on.
Yeah. It's such a stunning display.
They're awesome.
Along this entire place.
Don't their canopies kind of overlap a little bit?
They
too?
All do. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's very much like an LA effect in some spaces.
Love that.
They're so lovely. And the thing that I wanted to talk about is that this tree, in my opinion, exemplifies the idea of right tree, right place.
Interesting. I know a little bit about this.
Yeah, we've talked about it every now and then. We've touched on it and said, well, it kind of means this. I think we even had a whole Patreon episode where we kind of dove into this.
Yeah.
So I wanted to cover this in a little bit more in depth so that we could kind of really dial it in, share it with everyone else. The secondary reason is that we often get people asking us, hey, I need to plant a tree. You know, I live here and I want to plant a tree. What tree should I plant? And it's very difficult for me or for anyone in our enterprise to say, here's exactly the tree that you should plant.
Yeah. And that comes back to right tree, right place.
Exactly.
Right time.
Right objective.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things that come into it, but they boil it down to those two things, right tree, right place.
So it's hard to say, I live in Minnesota. What tree should I plant?
Yes, exactly.
Well, give us some deets.
Yeah, we'll need the details, but unfortunately, we just don't have the time to really dive into all those things.
Yeah, well, also, you know, you are not an on-call nursery employee.
Unfortunately not, yeah.
So,
unfortunately, I think I would really enjoy that. You know, it'd be great to have an on-call where there's like an emergency,
yeah.
You know, it's like, quick, call the emergency nursery line. And I'll answer like, hi, this is Casey. What's your emergency? Hi, I'm trying to figure out what plant to plant here. I got this kind of soil. The sun is beating down on my house. The climate change is real. And then I'll be like, stay calm. Everything's going to be just fine. What's your soil type? Do you have any power lines? I need you to go outside, ma'am, right now. Put your fingers in the air. What's the temperature?
Lick them first.
Is there any wind?
You have the solar, the satellite image of their house pulled
exactly.
up.
Exactly. All right. I need you to go to the west side of the house.
Typing furiously.
Yeah, that would be a great job. I would totally do that job. So this is, this tree exemplifies it. And I can hear people saying, oh my God, you guys are so wrong. Wait till the end of the episode. Sorry, are you okay, Alex?
Yeah.
Oh, so the question, of course, that is on everyone's mind right now is, what do you mean by right tree, right place?
Yeah.
Alex, do you have any perspective?
I mean, I think it's pretty surface level, but I'm sure I'll be proven wrong in the next hour and a half. I think it just means that, you know, for every area that you want to plant a tree,
yeah,
there are a list of good choices.
Yeah.
And you have to, and we've talked about dichotomous keys.
Yes.
I love bringing this up.
Mm-hmm.
Love a dichotomous key. Say like, well, what's the...
We love a dichotomous key. everyone loves it. Every time a dichotomous key in, we love it. We love the dichotomous key.
There's no way he could pronounce dichotomous key.
Yeah. I love a dico key.
A dico key.
What?
A lot of people calling it a D key. I'm not the only one. So you got to say, well, what's the shade situation, right?
Yeah. Okay.
What's the climate like? What zone are you in?
Mm-hmm.
What's your soil type?
Yes.
What is the composition of the soil? You know, how much room will this tree have to grow out? How much room will it have to grow up? What's the surrounding, what's this? What are the neighbors like? Like, yeah. What kind of trees are around it?
Hey, is your neighbor an asshole, or right. Do you really like your neighbor?
Is it juniper or like a Douglas fir rich with mycelium?
Yeah, right. You know, that's so good. I love that, like adding that extra like cultural thing into it. It's like, do you like your neighbors or do you not like your neighbors?
Oh,
change your entire perspective.
Right. Yeah, like what purpose are you looking for this tree to serve?
Yes.
Do you just want to plant a tree to have a tree? That's fine. Or do you want to plant a tree to, you know, be a shade tree in 50 years?
Yeah.
Or so answering all these questions can help narrow down a cast of characters that will be the right tree for the right situation.
That's perfect. I couldn't have had a better description.
It's time for our completely arbitrary Q&A.
All right. Thanks, everyone. This is a lot of fun. No, we're not actually doing a Q&A. Not yet. So this is 100% the thing for that. Like, you named so many perfect examples where essentially right tree boils down to right tree, right place.
Right.
Boils down to choosing the tree that fits the conditions and the limitations of the space that you're trying to plant a tree in. And you also want to make sure that that tree will thrive going forward and reduce the number of infrastructure conflicts that could happen.
Mm.
So this is, there's no exact formula. You can look this up and you can find 1,000 different places saying, you know, how to figure out what the right tree is for your right space. But there are some big things that you can kind of look for and think about. And the first thing that you want to do is, like you said, look at the ground. Because the ground is the kind of number one thing that you need to think about. I make this joke all the time that you can cut the top of a tree off, which is the part that most people consider the tree, and it will come back. But if you cut the bottom of a tree off,
right,
it will not come back.
Yeah.
So if you just have that top bit and you plant it, dead tree. So the most important thing for a tree is the ground. It's what's going on.
Sure.
I know, have you ever thought about cutting the bottom off of a tree?
No, but yeah. I want to try now.
Yeah, you should try. That'd be fun.
What the fuck? It's not growing back.
This is ridiculous. You might, a willow would grow back, I think.
True.
Yeah.
They got new roots, new shoots,
yeah,
baby.
Be fine.
Okay, so the ground. So you want to like look at like, you know, the word composition of the ground.
Yeah.
Like, is it clay? Is it really stony?
Is it sandy?
Is salt in it? Right.
Yeah.
What's the composition?
Yeah. Is it super compacted? Is there lots of space? Is there mulch, you know, growing? Like, what kind of soil are you dealing with?
Sure.
Is it going to be a very cush garden environment? Is it going to be the planter strip that has, you know, filled with gravel and very compacted clay soil?
Could you add to that, is it on a slope? Is it flat?
Yes. Is it next to water? Is it
right,
saturated with moisture most of the time, or is it dry most of the time?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is there a mixture of that over the year?
It makes sense because the tree's contact point with the earth is the ground.
It's where
that it's
gets
in.
Literally everything but the sunlight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the first place to start. You also need to think about the scale and the size of your ground.
Mm.
So if you have a planter strip that is 3 feet wide and only 10 feet long, that is a tiny amount of space. Now, you can always have the roots grow down under the sidewalk, kind of under the road sometimes, but that is really, you know, kind of a tough place for a tree. It's
also
very unforgiving.
Sort of a gamble in terms of like, will this tree tear up the sidewalk?
Yeah, exactly. But that goes to it, because that would not be the right tree for that place.
You should send this episode to the people who planted sweet gum all over
yes,
Portland.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have any idea. They just were like, this is the right tree. And they didn't think about the place at all.
Yeah,
100%. And this is the kind of thing that came from that when they found those kind of infrastructure conflicts.
Okay, interesting.
They were like, okay, how do we avoid this? And like, well, this just isn't the right tree for this space. So they have to think of a better option.
I gotcha.
So that's the first bit. How much space do you have underground? Is this planted, you know, in a tiny little courtyard with, you know, maybe 10 cubic feet of soil? That's not enough for a big tree. You got to have a little tree there. Is this a giant open lawn on like big campus where there's just infinite room in every direction? You can plant a giant tree there. If the tree cannot put on a lot of roots and grow out, then it can't make a big, healthy canopy.
Right.
At some point, it's going to get cut short. So first thing, what does the underground limitations, what are those criteria? Then look above ground. If you have some piece of infrastructure that this tree is going to grow into, that is either A, going to be something that you need to do maintenance on consistently to keep that tree away from it. The first thing I think about is power lines.
Of course, yeah. What power else line? Is there? I don't...
Well, there's buildings, you know. If you want shade or light coming into, let's say, a solar panel, you don't want to plant a giant tree that's going to shade out those solar panels.
I was thinking above, as in directly above, and the power line was the only thing I could think of.
Well, you also have to think of maybe shade, or if you have a bunch of other trees that are around, so it's a very shady spot.
Sure.
There's maybe plenty of room for your tree to grow up, but you need a shade-tolerant tree that will take those conditions.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you got to think about the track of the sun. And how much sun this thing is going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So the above ground space is really important. But also, if you are planting it in front of your house and you have a view that you really like and you want to maintain, that doesn't mean you can't have a tree. You just need to know how big that tree is going to get so that it doesn't have that negative impact on whatever it is that's above your or the height that that tree would get.
Sure.
So those are like the two big kind of things, above ground space and limitations, and below ground criteria. What are you working with? Because there are thousands of different trees that you could plant ostensibly in some spot, but you cannot choose 1,000 different spots. You have one spot. I want a tree right here.
Interesting. Does that make sense? The place is more important than... the tree?
Yeah, because
those
are
trying to say?
Yeah, they're kind of immutable options.
Yeah.
You can certainly, I mean, you could go and dig out your entire front yard, change the entire soil type, do 1,000 different things to it, completely artificialize the entire situation, plant a different kind of tree that just really likes those conditions. Yes, you could do that. But that seems pretty impractical, right?
Yeah.
So really, if you have conditions on the ground, those are what you're dealing with.
I got you.
So you can then plant a tree that has all these different criteria that come along with that tree, that tree will either do well or do poorly or any kind of difference on that spectrum. And that is the right tree section of this. So if you are, the way I think about it, I think actually you brought this up and it gave the term for what I was thinking, which is the game Guess Who.
Yes.
Alex, quickly explain to us how to play that game.
Okay, well, you and your opponent each have a board full of little faces of people. They all look different. They have different skin colors, facial hair, hair color, eye color,
glasses, you know, things like that.
Yeah, accessories. And you draw a card, and that card has a face on it that corresponds to one of the faces on your board. You are trying to guess the card, the face that your opponent drew.
Yes.
By asking questions that eliminate possibilities. So you say, is your character wearing glasses? They say, no.
You knock down all those ones that have glasses on your board.
Exactly. So that you're left with a cast of characters that fill the criteria of the questions you're asking.
Yeah.
And eventually you say, oh, it's Lucy.
Yeah, done. And of course, it's Lucy.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing for trees. You're trying to find that Lucy tree, right?
Yeah.
So if you are trying to choose a place, those cast of characters that you have on your board, those are criteria that you have on your site. So you say, do I have a small, medium, or large amount of underground space? Do I have a large, medium, or small amount of overground space?
I might tweak your metaphor here.
Yeah?
And say that the faces on the board are actually tree options.
Oh,
not
yes.
Not criteria.
Okay, yes, correct.
And the questions you ask are the criteria.
Yes, okay, that is correct. You have the right of it, Alex. I agree.
Sorry.
Casey regrets his error.
I just want to be, you know, consistent.
I think it's fair. I think it's a good choice. So that is the exact thing. So you say, okay, I have all these trees in front of me. Some of these trees take really good drought conditions. Some trees are really tall. Some trees take conditions that are very, very, let's say, saturated with water. You know, all these different things that any individual tree can do. Some are very tall. Some are very short. Some have flowers. Some have great fall color. Some have fruit that you can eat. Some have fruit that you just have to clean up. Some have flowers that smell like semen. There's all these different criteria. You have to ask yourself, what are the criteria that I'm working with, and what are the criteria that I want?
I'm glad you said this, Casey.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a big part of it.
It totally is.
What do you emotionally want out of this tree?
Yes.
Or like mentally, you know?
Right.
Like it doesn't have to just be what tree would grow here perfectly. It's like, well, what kind of tree do you want?
Yes. And now I think it should work in that order. Right tree, right place. Rather, right place, right tree, right objective is what I use.
Okay.
And so that would say, first off, whatever tree you want, you can have you can have almost any tree, but if that tree does not do well in your conditions,
It doesn't matter.
You're gonna hate it, it's not gonna grow, and you're gonna be sad.
Yeah.
So look at the conditions, then choose the trees, the palette that you'll be choosing from that will fit those conditions.
Right.
Then once you have your trees, then you say, okay, what do I want? Do I want yellow flowers or pink flowers? Do I want a big tree or do I want a little tree? Do I want a tree that is going to do this particular thing at this time of year? Or do I want a tree that's going to be evergreen the whole year round?
Right.
These kinds of things.
Yeah, you've talked about the like the great aunt who plants a dogwood in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, right.
Like that's exactly. The wrong tree for the wrong place, but it's the right objective.
Yeah.
That person prioritized the objective over the place and tree.
Yes. So if you are in a place like Tucson, Arizona, your palette is much smaller because you just don't have, you know, too many options that can deal with such extreme conditions.
Right.
Whereas up here in Portland, your conditions are spectacular. You can plant almost any tree you can choose from. So you just need to make sure it's not going to grow too tall into the power lines.
Right.
Then I also add in, for those of you who are urban forestry minded people or arborists, right objective includes if that is a tree that you're planting for stormwater interception, for pollution interception, for shading, all these kinds of things.
Economic.
Ecosystem services?
Fuck, yeah.
You got it. Okay, I was like, what is he saying right now?
Ecosystem services.
Yes. So that comes with your objective. Because there's two different kinds or sides of the objective. There's kind of the aesthetic objective, but then there's also the kind of infrastructure objective.
Sure. So I guess it depends on, well, that depends on place.
It does. It depends on place.
And like, you know, I guess if you're like a landscape arborist.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like a citizen.
Right. And see, that would be the thing, is that the landscape arborist should be able to look at the site and say, okay, I know what trees would be good here. Here are your choices. And if the client says, oh, I want to plant a cherry, you can say, ooh, you probably shouldn't do that. This is a very shady spot. It's also very dry. Your cherry's going to die.
Yeah.
If the client continually says, yeah, give me a cherry, great, sell them a cherry, do your job, and then call it good.
Right.
But the appropriate thing is to have a conversation and say, here's the best tree for this situation, or here's the best trees to choose from. That way the tree's going to survive, it's going to do the thing that they want, everyone's happy.
And then give them in their written quote, say that you tried to talk them out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I tried to say no, but whatever. So coming back to our Coleuteria paniculata.
Yes.
This tree I find to be the right tree for the right space, specifically these ones that I'm thinking of down in Selwood, because there are overhead power lines that are growing, but there's a big wide space.
Yes.
So you can plant a big tree, but you can't plant a big tall tree.
Right.
So it also is a beautiful tree. It's probably not the right tree for stormwater interception because it is a deciduous tree. So when we here in Oregon get most of our rain, its leaves are gone. It's not doing a whole lot.
Oh, okay.
But it'll shade your street and it'll do pollution absorption for the entire summertime. So you know, it's 2 out of 3. It's pretty good.
Those are great shade trees.
They're great shade trees because they grow up and then they grow out.
Yeah.
They're fairly strong wooded trees. I've heard they're a little bit brittle if you really try to use them for something. Mm. But just growing up and living, I don't think I've seen any. I've never dealt with any in terms of like emergency response where they've broken off or something like that.
Mm.
So they're good, solid trees. They take almost every condition you can imagine. Salt spray. They take drought conditions. They take intense clay soil. Like they grow in the roughest places, perfect for a planter strip. They only get 35 or 40 feet tall, perfect to have underneath power lines.
Yeah.
They grow outward, so they shade your sidewalk, they shade your cars, they shade your roads. They have beautiful flowers. They come out in the spring with this beautiful red foliage.
Wow.
They have yellow striking fall foliage.
He's
in the fall
up.
Time. Oh my God, they are just, and then in the winter, they have this gorgeous architecture with these beautiful fruit kind of still hanging on. They kind of fall off over the course of the winter time. They're just spectacular trees. And whenever anyone has a big strip, but there's this, you know, awful power lines, which should be underground out of the way no matter what, but we don't do that yet because of dumb reasons. Well, there's still an option for you.
Yeah.
So there's always a good option to be planted in almost every situation. You just have to take the patience to talk to someone who knows what those options are. And most of the time you can get an option that'll check every box you want.
Yeah.
And that's the key, I think.
It seems like it just takes a little patience and work and forethought.
Exactly. That's all it takes. Yeah. And you have to sometimes say to yourself, this is not the right place for a cherry.
Yeah.
This is not the right place for a Douglas fir. It's not the right place for a ponderosa pine. I must plant a smaller growing tree.
Casey, keep this energy. This is very good. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into our review of the golden rain tree. We'll be right back with more Completely Arbitrary. Alex here. Here's a little something about me. I love to be cozy. Coziness is of utmost importance to me, and I am in a constant search for coziness. And that is why we present to you Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth makes luxurious bedding and clothing products. And what do I mean by luxurious? Let me tell you this. I now have Cozy Earth sheets on my bed. I wear a full Cozy Earth sweatsuit to bed. And I have been getting the best sleep of my life. It is quite literally the softest material I've ever put on my body, and my skin is so happy in it. I usually have a little bit of a sensory thing. I don't like things touching my skin. Clothes are tough. But with Cozy Earth, I am treated to superior softness, unparalleled fabric, materials, and weave. This is a real endorsement. It's the most comfortable material to ever grace my birthday suit. And guess what? You deserve this coziness too. So treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. And you know what? Completely Arbitrary listeners, a little inside detail here. You all get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. That's T-R-E-E-S for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Now you go and get cozy.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Casey, that was our discussion of the golden rain tree. I don't have it.
Can I get you a pina colada?
Something pina colada. And it is now time for our golden cone score.
Yes.
Kinds of gold in this
There's
episode.
There's a lot of gold. Interesting.
Very curious. We're not going anywhere with that, but nope. Still. here's how it works. We're going to give some final thoughts on this tree and then give it a rating of 0 to 10. Golden Cones of Honor, Casey, as a resident expert and as a very passionate man about this tree, we will begin with you.
I appreciate the opportunity. So, our Golden Rain tree is a spectacular specimen tree, in my opinion. There are many people who are probably pulling their hair out right now because this is an invasive tree in places like southern Florida.
Ah.
So, to pin it all off before I give it this rating, I want to say I acknowledge sometimes trees are invasive in certain areas. What do we do to avoid this?
Don't plant them.
We ask ourselves, is this the right tree for the right place?
I see.
You say, no, this is not the right tree for southern Florida because it's an invasive horde and I hate it. So the mantra, right tree, right place, right objective, that is the best and most fundamental way you can approach anything. I'm going to take that into my review and say, we are talking, me, I'm talking, specifically a Coleuteria paniculata in Portland, Oregon, underneath power lines.
Yeah.
In a large planter strip that I want to have a beautiful flowering tree in early summertime. And I also want it to be quite shaggily handsome in the fall time. And I'm going to give this an 8.8 trees, golden trees, golden rain trees of honor. Did I get that right, Alex?
I don't know. 8.8.
8.8.
A very good score, Casey.
Yeah, and I have to say, that's probably way above what it should be. But every time I see this tree, I'm just like, you're doing it just right.
Yeah, man.
I have yet to see one. I'm sorry, I have not spent a lot of time in southern Florida. But I have yet to see one that I'm just like, ooh, not what I want to see.
It's like that NBA forward who just keeps hitting threes and you're like, how do they fucking do it?
They just keep doing it and I just keep loving it.
Forward is a basketball position, right?
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah.
Okay. Like yeah. Damian Lillard is a forward.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're like the person who takes the ball from one end of the court to the other and like begins the play on their side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're the quarterback
okay.
of it.
Okay, yeah.
I don't want that to confuse you, Alex.
No, I think I understand it.
Okay, good. Yeah, so I'm gonna go 8.8 for 8.8, this tree.
Very good. I love those trees over in Selwood that are growing over that street because that street is so comfortable. You know why? Because it's covered in shade and that's what we need more of.
And that is the thing.
Yeah. And any tree that can provide that in LA that really... I feel like that's like S tier LA ship is like if it can grow out over the road.
You S tier? What?
You know, S tier.
No.
Okay. In Japanese video games.
Okay.
It's like if you complete a level and you did really, really good, you get ranked, right? There's like D tier, C tier, B tier, A tier.
Okay.
And then above that is S tier, really? Which comes from Japanese schools. Like an A plus in Japan is an S.
Oh.
And I think it stands for like super or something.
Huh. I had no idea.
Yeah. So anytime I say S tier, I just mean like top of the top.
Okay. Gotcha. All
so
right. I see.
An LA that grows out over the road.
Yes.
I consider an S tier LA.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. As opposed to just like, you know, Italian cypress along a countryside road. It's like, that doesn't do much for me besides it looks kind of cool.
It looks kind of cool, but no.
Give me an American elm on each side that's like covering the street.
Yeah.
Gosh, I love its leaves. I love that it's sometimes bipinnately compound, sometimes pinnately compound.
Whatever it's feeling.
I love the color, that rich yellow. I love the little lanterns. Those are so cool and curious.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this thing an 8.5, Casey.
8.5?
8.5 Golden Cones of Honor.
Sometimes it's the little trees that just know what they're doing.
That's right.
It's amazing.
Dripping in golden rain.
Dripping in golden rain. Everyone, go out and find them right now. Uh-huh. If you're in Florida, kill it when you find it.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Hey, go pee on a golden rain tree for us.
Give it a golden shower.
That was our review of the golden rain tree. We hope you liked it. Casey, it's time for a game.
Hey. Oh, what?
That's right.
I didn't know there was a game today.
Yeah, there sure is, pal.
Let's do it.
And this one is a classic that we love and hold dear. This is The Family Tree.
All right.
No theme song this time. I'm just not feeling it.
You're going to have to play it in somehow. You can't, okay. You can't just not.
It's a common condition in this day and age for Casey and Alex to anthropomorphize a tree. Is it Zeus of Olympus or Saruman? Some people say it's even Admiral Thrawn. Deep cut. You know there must be some kind of rules for this stupid game. But all we can see is an opportunity for a segment on Completely Arbitrary. Maybe Jean-Luc Picard is an elm of some kind. And the kid from Up is a ponderosa pine. There's room for use, mahoganies. There's room for the hosts to disagree. It's a podcast game called The Family Tree. Well, Casey, this is a very special edition of Family Tree.
What do we got, Alex?
Because this week, well, let me just introduce the game for those who don't know.
All right.
In this game, we take some cast of characters from some canon or other, a group, an ensemble, if you will.
I will.
We then assign each of them a tree based on their personality, physical appearance, etc.
Yes.
Casey, this week, we will be assigning trees to the toys from Toy Story.
From Toy Story?
Yeah.
Alex, which one?
I'm very excited. Several.
The first one? The
yes,
second one?
Toy
the
Story third, 1.
The fourth? The fifth?
The OG, Toy Story.
Okay, thank God, because I think I've only seen the first two.
You, what?
I think that's
the
it.
Third one is the best one. It is the...
Isn't that when he goes to college?
Yeah. It's very sad.
Gets a girlfriend.
Well, he at the end of the... I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay, yes, I don't know.
Go watch Toy Story 3. Come back. We'll play the game.
Okay, fine.
Let's start with... who should we start with here? How about, Casey, let's start with the nervous Nelly of the group, Rex.
Rex. Oh, I Rex, like Rex.
Rex is a gentle giant, you know?
Yeah.
He's a T-Rex toy, but he is very skittish and nervous. And gentle and kind.
Very ironic.
Yes, right. His whole identity is ironic. And he, he really cares about everyone.
Yeah.
And he's just a sweetheart, but he has the physical appearance of a monster.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like there's a lot to work with there.
There is a lot to work with.
And he's green like a tree.
Yeah, he's green like a tree. So I'm thinking of a big scary looking tree.
Maybe something with scale-like needles because he's a dinosaur.
Yeah, oh, brilliant. But it's not like, but isn't that scary? Once you get to know him a little bit,
yeah.
Like, oh,
you touch it
nice.
And you're like, oh, this is nice. I'm thinking a conifer.
Yeah, I think a conifer. They're the ones that have most conifer or most needle scale like leaves. My God.
Yeah.
But then, so the one I'm thinking about, skip straight ahead.
Something ancient, okay. A living fossil, because he's a dinosaur.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Maybe, honestly, I was thinking of the scariest of them all, the monkey puzzle, the Peiwen.
Wow.
Because it's big, it's scary. It's got these giant scales. It looks like it's going to poke the heck out of you.
Right.
And it will, but it's also a very sweet tree that grows up and it's just beautiful. It's got big curvy tails.
Uh-huh. Very Seussical.
Yeah. So it doesn't, it doesn't hurt you if you just go up next to it.
I love that answer, Casey.
Okay, monkey puzzle.
Monkey puzzle. All Rex right. is a monkey puzzle.
Monkey puzzle, Peiwen for Rex the dinosaur.
That's right.
Excellent, Alex.
Casey.
Wow, okay, that's good.
Next.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling ready.
All right. Here we go. We have the token female.
Okay.
This is Bo Peep.
Bo Peep.
Her person, it's unfortunate, her personality is just being in love with Woody.
Oh.
And she's sort of like the damsel in distress.
I see,
you know?
Yeah. She's got the sheep herding cane.
Yes, she's a shepherd. She has her sheep. She is a lamp.
She's a lamp.
I think she's like a little figure that comes on a lamp.
I believe.
Yes, I see.
She's like a
I
part
see.
Of a Bo Peep lamp.
Yeah.
I will say in Toy Story, I think 4, Bo Peep is like a martial artist. She's like really badass. They really make her.
She's been doing like Tai Chi, you know, working on all these things.
Right. And she's like the hero of Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that she's just a damsel in distress. I'm talking about specifically the first movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember if she does anything heroic or if she's just kind of a minor character, but
yeah. Oh my gosh. In Toy Story 4, she looks quite different.
Yes. She looks like Rey from Star Wars. She's like, she's a badass.
Okay. All right. So I'm thinking something that is, that animals like that are, you know, animals are drawn to that are comfortable around.
Yeah.
But also if you get too close, will whap you. You know, or get you somehow.
Sure.
So the first thing that I was thinking is like a mesquite or a some kind of acacia tree down in arid areas where goats often like to hang out in and on and around.
Okay.
Because they're comfortable with it. Because sheep, I always think of as being in like, you know, big open
corrals
or just on the side of a hillside, you know, grass where there's no trees. And goats tend to be in trees, and acacias have those thorns. They look beautiful from afar, but then when you get close, if you get a little too close, it's a pow, like stick you.
Interesting.
But I don't know, what do you think?
Well, I'm gonna go with a willow of some kind, maybe a black willow.
Yeah.
And I am going to say that this is a willow on the side of a pasture by a river, kind of with its roots in the water.
Yeah.
And it's sort of acting as a hedge, right? For this pasture. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a tree called the peach leaf willow.
That might be perfect.
Yeah. Like it just, I don't know why I think of peach, but there is, I feel like I'm thinking of, the Mario character.
Princess Peach. Yeah.
This is a very very peach look to her, especially the older movies, like this pink dress kind of thing.
Yes, totally. Well, can we go with the peach flower willow?
Let's go with peach, the peach leaf willow. Yeah, which I believe, ironically, is Salix amygdaloides, which means it's actually the peach leaf willow is a common name, but the scientific name means that it's the almond leaf-like willow.
Interesting.
Yes. Very confusing.
Both droops?
They are both droops. They are both actually in the genus Prunus.
Ah.
So it makes some kind of sense, but not enough.
But Salix is the willow.
Yes. We're Salix amygdaloides.
This is like a Prunus-like Salix.
Yeah. Yes, it's a Prunus-like Salix that's called a different kind of Prunus.
Weird.
Yeah, everything's confusing. Don't listen to anything other than us.
Casey, let's move on.
Hi, Bo Peep. Bye, Bo Peep.
Hi, Bo Peep. Bye, Bo Peep. Let's talk about the spaceman.
Yes.
Buzz Aldrin.
I thought you were talking about the little guys.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the spaceman. The little guys that honor the claw.
The claw.
You know what? Can we, I just real quick as a side note.
Yeah, please.
I choose the Radiata Pine as the space guys.
All right.
Because they're always jammed in tight inside their little corral.
Mm.
They're growing up, and the claw, they look up and they honor the claw because it's actually just a chainsaw machine that just comes and cuts them all down and takes them out and then replants, and then they grow up and they're like, right, we're back.
They don't know they're on a plantation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
they think they're in the forest.
Yes. So that's just a little bonus there.
I love that.
All right. Perfect.
Let's talk about Buzz Lightyear,
all right,
Casey.
Buzz.
Buzz Lightyear is cocky and brash.
Yeah.
And adventuresome.
Okay.
He has his role in the first movie is sort of the new kid on the block that everybody loves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Takes all the attention away from the next character we'll do.
Yes.
So I might have an idea.
What do you got?
I want to say Woolamai Pine.
Woolamai Pine, new kid on the block.
This new discovery.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And in this instance, Woody would be the Don Redwood.
Oh, I right? see. Okay.
Or maybe opposite. I don't know.
Ooh.
There's something there for me, but okay. But also aesthetically, it doesn't really
match up there. Yeah.
No.
But I like this kind of new kid on the block arrogance kind of thing, like a tree that just grows.
Yeah.
Yeah. That everyone loves.
He's also completely deluded.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks he is real.
Yeah.
He doesn't know he's a toy.
I want to go with the Leland Cypress.
Wow.
This is what I think of.
Okay.
Because it's a tree that is a hybrid. So it grows with an intense amount of vigor, and we plant it, and it just grows everywhere really fast, and everyone thinks they love it. But it grows so fast that it gets out of control.
Wow.
So I kind of see it as being, it's a new kid on the block. Everyone plants it kind of everywhere. It's the new age kind of arborvita.
Wow.
And you plant it, it's great. And you're like, oh, cool. There's this new plant. And it's adventuresome because it grows all over the place very quickly.
Hmm.
I was also thinking of the tree of heaven, a very adventuresome tree that likes to grow anywhere.
I don't want to associate Buzz with Tree of Heaven.
Yeah, you don't? Okay. maybe something like the mangrove. Like, I'm kind of thinking of a tree that, ooh, like goes everywhere.
Mangrove is pretty good.
Yeah, I would say an aspen, but aspen doesn't feel right.
No. I was also thinking madrone.
Yeah, see, I was thinking madrone for Woody, but I also like madrone as well. They're very adventuresome. They grow out on the side of rocks.
Right.
You know, they're always constantly there, but I don't have a big arrogance kind of feel.
What was the first one?
That right. I said?
Yeah. The one that...
Leland Cypress.
Leland Cypress. Let's go with that one. That sounds good.
All right, Leland Cypress. We'll do that. Yeah, yeah. All right.
And it's purple and green.
Yeah, it's definitely purple and green. Yeah, for sure.
He has the Joker colors, I just realized. Those are the Joker colors, purple and green.
Oh, yeah. I think they are... complementary colors on the scale of color.
That's right.
Which means they go well together, but they're also opposites.
True that. Casey, let's talk about our last character here.
Yep.
The man himself. Woody's Roundup. Come on, it's time to play. Boom, 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 boom. Woody's Roundup. I love that song from Toy Story 2.
I think it's really nice.
You remember that?
No, I don't.
Woody finds out that he's like a character from a TV show from the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this theme song. It's like this children's show.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He's a marionette.
That is so funny.
I love that premise.
You do. I happen to know that you do love the Toy Stories very specifically.
I do love the Toy Stories, yeah.
I remember one time, I think you cried. You're like, Toy Story 3 or Toy Story, something's coming out. We got to go see it. And like, it just, you are so emotionally, in fact, all the Pixar movies you used to love.
Yeah. I used to want to work for Pixar.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never knew how much a movie could just like emotionally affect an adult.
Yeah.
Until I experienced a Pixar movie with you and I was like, okay, there's something to these. Oh my God.
Just so touching.
They really are.
It's like almost scientifically designed to make you feel something.
Yeah. But they're very good at it.
Yeah. Casey, let's talk about Woody.
Okay.
The cowboy.
Ponderous pine.
He has a, sure. Okay. that's what I was thinking. He's got a snake in his boot. What else? He's a sheriff, so ACAB. Yeah,
he's got a snake in his boot.
Oh, have we talked about my shirt idea with Woody and it says ACAB because he's a sheriff?
Oh no.
In like Toy Story font, ACAB.
That would be so funny.
It probably exists.
It probably does, but yeah. Honestly, we can do it ourselves anyway.
Why not?
That's hilarious.
He has his position in the first movie is he is the sort of leader of the toys, yeah, right? He's he's the mayor in a way. He's when like a sheriff was also a mayor.
Yeah, right. And they're just leaders of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just in charge, I guess. Yeah.
But it was always, whenever I think of sheriff, I always think Old West. Which, of course, is, you know, he's a cowboy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, why do you say that?
Well, because there are sheriffs in, like, big cities. Like, there's a sheriff for every county in the entire United States.
Yeah.
But I don't think, when I think sheriff, I don't think of gangs of New York, you know?
Totally. You think of constables.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I think of sheriff, you're outside with that golden star, copper star, whatever. That's
sheriff.
What I think.
Yep. Yeah. So, Woody's the sheriff.
Okay.
So he's the leader, but he's all, then the new guy comes in and everybody loves him.
Yeah.
Woody feels like he's being forgotten.
Being pushed aside a little
bit. Which kind of mirrors his relationship with Andy, who's sort of forgets him and is really into this new toy and all the memorabilia on Andy's walls. Remember this part?
Yeah.
Like all it channel changes to Buzz Lightyear stuff.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Like as a kid, you're like really into Ninja Turtles. You have Ninja Turtles everything.
Yeah.
And then you discover Power Rangers.
And then you become a Power Ranger kid.
Right. And you just have like everything you own is Power Rangers themed.
Yeah.
Ponderosa Pine, right? Yeah. He's a cowboy.
It just feels apt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was Family Tree.
Oh,
Story Edition.
That was fun, Alex.
You know, Casey, it's true what they say. You've got a friend in tree.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, Casey, it's time for a completely arbitrary Q&A.
All righty.
This week's question is from longtime fan Megan Vaughn. Megan asks, Alex, thank you for all the beautiful music you've produced lately.
Oh, that's why you like this question so much.
No. I was wondering if you wrote a song about your friendship with Casey, but used tree analogies. What would you use and why?
Oh, that's a good one.
Lots of love to you both. Thanks, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Casey, what do you think? Tree analogies that represent our friendship.
I think it would have to be something that grows and develops over time.
Mm-hmm.
It gets stronger, but it has weak points where we lost contact.
Yeah.
I think it would also be a tree that helps both of its sides, helps itself. It can't just be a tree that does it all by itself. It has to be a tree that works with another thing, another tree. So maybe it's just the same tree, there's just two of them.
Interesting.
I don't know, what do you think?
Well, I'm trying to think. I guess I hate to distill our friendship into the creation of the podcast.
Okay.
But since we're on the podcast, maybe I'll go that direction.
It might be a good place to do.
Sure.
Focus.
So you are a very, you are a font of knowledge.
Wow.
Font?
I don't know. Fountain? Yeah, I would think fount.
You're
a font of knowledge makes me think that it's like, Times New Roman.
Okay, well.
You know.
If anything, you're a Bakersfield.
A Bakersfield? Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Bakersfield. It's just a nice serif font.
I'm going to check this out.
I'm Helvetica new, baby.
What?
Yeah, sorry. You have all this tree knowledge, and you asked me to help create this, like to express it in a modern way. So I'm wondering if there's something there where like an old kind of timeless tree.
Yeah.
That found new life with some relationship that it formed.
Interesting.
Like a reverse Osage orange, you know?
Yeah, I see. You know, the first thing that I think of is like a western red cedar that has another tree growing in it or on it or something.
Sure,
like that.
A hemlock?
Yeah, or like a hemlock and a western red cedar grow together somehow.
Yeah.
Or like the one is growing. Yeah, I don't want this metaphor. Please don't look too far into it. But often it's the red cedar that grows and a hemlock grows onto it or like seeds into some spot and then sends its roots down and around it.
Right, because you've said before you see me as riding your coattails.
I do. I've said that multiple times where I'm like, Alex, I feel like I'm wearing a backpack with you on it.
I'm the barnacle on the belly of your success.
That's why it's so itchy right there. Oh my God. I've been there this whole time.
Got an Alex problem, if you know what I mean.
I don't know. That's a good question. I think that, what two trees are like working together.
I mean, there's like, what about like, what if I'm the mycelia, I help you communicate and you are the raw power, you know?
I love that. Okay, what if I'm the home oak and you are the truffle?
I'd love that.
Growing underneath it. So you're also very tasty.
Yes,
and
thank
you. You cause a dead zone to make sure nothing else comes and fucks with me.
I'm your security detail.
Yeah, security detail, communication, and
yeah.
You also help give me nutrients.
That's it, man.
And all I do is just grow up and be like, what's going on down there? Yeah, everything's cool. Must be.
Everything's fine, Mr. Clap. Are you having a nice Sunday?
I am. Thank you, Truffle Alex. This was great.
It's just a bunch of dead deer around you. I think that's it, Case.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah,
it's
sounds
the
good.
The story of Home Oak and Truffle.
If you have a question for us, join the Patreon. Patreon.com/arbitrarypod. That's ARBORTRARY pod.
Quercus.com.
If you have a question for us, join that Q&A. That's Quercus and Alder tier for $3 a month.
That's where we just got Megan's question.
That's right. For $5 a month to support the podcast, you get 2 bonus episodes and to be part of the Q&A every month. And for $10 is our flagship tier, the Cone of the Month Club. Every month we get an independent artist to illustrate a conifer cone. Different species every month. Different art style every month. And then we get it printed on stickers at Sticker Ninja in Portland. And we ship them all over this damn world of ours, Casey.
That's right. Someone commented recently that they weren't sure that we shipped to Canada. We do.
Oh, yes. We have many Canadian patrons. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Above that is Arbitrary Plus, our live stream tier. Every month you get 2 live streams. One is with Casey and I, where we do all sorts of things. And we're kind of like, as of last live stream, we are sort of reimagining what we can do with those live streams, which is very exciting.
Yeah, it's very, very fun.
It was very interactive, and it gave the patrons agency in the podcast, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yes. Some of the things that those folks used or said or responded to, we are going to actively be using here in the next couple weeks.
That's right.
On the show.
Just like our Excellent Adventure series.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, they helped choose some of the trees that we chose.
That's right.
Exactly right.
And then one of those live streams is just me, although we've talked about getting Casey to join on one of these as well, mm-hmm. playing a tree or nature themed video game, Twitch style, just a nice little game stream.
That's right.
Above that is the most generous of admissions, $20 a month. It starts at 20. You can give what you want. If you really want to go above and beyond to support this podcast, if you really love what Casey and I are doing, hey, we'll take anything and we'll take nothing. If you just want to listen to the show for free,
it's perfect.
That's also great. We love all of our patrons and all of our fungal associates all over the world. Casey Clapp.
Alex Croson.
Thank you for sitting down for this golden rain tree discussion.
Oh, you are so welcome. I'll see you next week when our hue changes just the slightest.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to get a little more yellow.
I like the sounds of that.
Huh, me too.
More yellow than the golden rain tree.
More yellow than the golden rain tree.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I noticed you put rain and tree together just then.
Rain tree.
For golden rain tree.
Thank you so much for listening to Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.